Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Hey, this is Hodge and Hodge, and we are on Hodge to Hodge podcast. Tonight's episode, again, is we have the messenger live, always giving us prophetic words, from the Word of God. How you doing tonight, Brother Messenger?
Once again, brother, I am blessed.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure, as they say, to be amongst the living. You know, just different things going on in today's environment, and sometimes, you know, we don't. I know they always say keep church and state separate, but I say forget that. I hope that God has a different course in mind for our president, man. That much I do say, man. I think that man is on a dangerous course that could affect a lot of people.
He's on a dangerous course, but I do believe that the country that we live in is strong enough, and what's happening now is the backs that were bending are starting to break, and they don't want it, and so they're starting to resist it and fight that slowly but surely. Don't get me wrong, there's still a segment out there that's still trying to hold on to the great American dream, per se. But I know you want to talk about it, but what I want us to understand, though, is that should not concern us. Even though it is of the country that we live in, we have to understand that it is us, we, that control our very own destiny. And I know he can make it rough, but is there anything too hard for God?
I know the answer to that question is absolutely none. Not even to make God sweat if he's anything like the God that I understand him to be. But you know, and it's funny, like you, one of the posts today came in. From a young sister, Sandra, and she said all things work for the greater good. And she liked that statement, and it's so profound, and it's so true. All things do work for the greater good. We just have to slow down and understand that the greater good might not always manifest itself very clearly to us at first.
That's correct. Well, and I'll tell you why that is, because we have trained and conditioned ourselves that it has to be one or the other, good or bad. We've trained ourselves to believe that. So because we've done that, this is why it takes so long for it to manifest ourselves. But if we truly believe that all things work together for the good, then we can't see them as bad, because it's all working for the good. So if it's all working for the good, it's got to be good, per se. You know what I mean? And this is what our problem is, and this is part of the reason why it takes us so long to manifest the authority and the power that we have, because we have this tendency for it to be either right or wrong, and it doesn't and it's not that. It's just one way or another way. It's not right or wrong. And I know people like to think, man, you're crazy. That's wrong. It's wrong if I go do this or I go do that. In our model that we built for our life, yes, but we've got to take it to a spiritual level. And when we take it to a spiritual level, then all things are working for the good comes to have more meaning to us. Right now, we're jumping in between this world and the spiritual world. And so when we say all things work together for the good, we're thinking in the spiritual. And then soon as something goes not according to our plan, then we jump back into the carnal and we start thinking it is bad. And we've got to see things that all things work for the good because of who we are. No weapon formed against us can prosper. It can't. We have, and this will become clearer to us when we understand who we really are. And I say this, and I say this even with reference to myself. As I'm on this journey, on this path to better understand myself, because of all of my training and things that I thought I know, I too slip back into that carnal state, and that causes, as we would say, the little hiccups in the road. Because of the carnal state of mind, but we've got to learn how to get in the spirit and allow the spirit to lead us. But we think that getting into the spirit means jumping and running around and going all crazy and stuff like that because of what we've been taught. But getting in the spirit is just listening to God. And listen, and when I say listen to God, when anybody have a conversation with God, it's just them talking to themselves. And yourself talks to you. And everybody can bear witness that once they, when they had a conversation with themselves, God, and he's answered them, when you've done what it is that it said, you didn't go wrong. It's only when you chose to do what somebody else said. And a lot of things that we call bad, we call them bad not because of our experience, but because what somebody else has already told us. A lot of things that we've already labeled is not from our own experience.
Yeah, so true.
We've got some of the greatest people out there that can get out on the floor and dance like you've never seen somebody dance before. What is that? That's a gift. Because I can't do it. So it is a gift. Hmm. And so because it's a gift, how can you turn around and say it's bad? All good gifts come from God. All good gifts. And all things are working for the good. We've got to stop looking at things, quote unquote, bad or good, and look at them as is. And what did God say? I am that I am. And that is everything. But we fail to see this in God because we've got this stereotype or this image that we've been told he is instead of hearing what he already told us he is. God doesn't like hot more than he likes cold. He doesn't like left more than he likes right. But we do, and so we place that on God, and we can't do that. We've got to understand this in its totality and look at it and deal with it from there. And I say this, brother, because I had some insight on God today, and I just couldn't wait to begin to share it with the people to let them know that God is trying to get us to look within and see just who we are so that we can start being, and please understand what I'm saying, please understand this, being the God that he created us to be. Why? Because we are him. In order for God to understand and fully exalt his power and authority, the only way he can do it is through us. And that's what we are. We are God in the flesh. And what we're doing is we're here to live and create the best life that we can with what we've been given. But what happens is we've got our eyes closed and we're not seeing it for who we are because we think we are less than what we are. We've done some things in our life that when we stop and look back, we amaze our own self on how we did it. It's because Amen. Of who we are. But we have a tendency to think so much less of ourselves.
Yeah, that is so true. And again, we have to be retaught how to understand that you have importance, you have value in whatever it is that you do.
You are part of the Creator. You, not important, you are magnificent. You are part of the Creator. And when we truly come to understand that, see, people hear that, and I just got finished talking about good and bad, so now they're already looking at me like I'm bad and crazy and all that stuff. But this is who we are. And if you want to manifest and see the power that you possess, start speaking things into existence. And here's what we have to understand. Speaking things into existence does not just mean saying something. What you have to do is connect the mind with the soul. Start visualizing something. And then as you begin to visualize something, make that visualization come into your heart. And what do we have there when we do that? When we have the mind, the soul, and the heart touching and agreeing, what do we have? It's three things. What is that three things?
Talk to me, bro.
It's the Holy Trinity. Mind, body, and spirit. But we need the heart and the mind and the spirit. When we start seeing these things, it's not enough to say these things, because we've got to understand this talking thing, it's a good thing, you know what I mean? But it's not the language of God. And the language of God is the mind and body touching and agreeing. And when the mind and the heart, mind and the soul starts touching and agreeing, then it goes into the heart. And when it gets there, whatever it is that you're feeling, you've got to start visualizing and seeing these things as if it were. And once again, for those that got me, check the Bible. It tells us this. There are so many revelations in that book that we have to begin to examine it for ourselves so that God can reveal it and stop going by what it is that everyone else has told you. Know him for yourself, not what somebody else has told you. We seem to rest on that because things ain't as bad as we think it could be. But it can be so much better because of who we are. We just have to get in tune. Cat Williams had a joke, and he used to say, you got to get in tune with your star player. And he didn't know how correct he was in that. We've got to get in tune with our star player, which is us. And when you get in tune, my brother, with your star player, none of this other stuff matters to you, because you know who you are, and you know that you're going to be all right in spite of, because there's nothing you can't have and nothing you can't do. But we've got to get in touch with our star player for us to truly realize this and put it into action. It's simple. It really is. But because of past things that have been taught to us, and it's no fault of theirs because they didn't know any better. So they taught you what it is that they knew. There are during Jesus' time here, Jesus had many disciples, but we've only got record of 12 of them. But he had many more than that. And if anybody that's listening to this, I would appreciate if you would take the time and look up the book of Thomas, one of his disciples. Look, you can find it. Look it up, the book of Thomas. And he gives you writings on Jesus. And no, it ain't no crazy stuff. It coincides with just what it is that the other writers are saying. But then you will see where there are certain parts of scripture that has been taken out. And it's been taken out for a reason. And we need to put them back in because we're missing valuable keys to the kingdom, which is right here on earth. We're missing valuable keys because some things have been omitted or consolidated and you're not getting the full picture. But take your time and do some research on the book of Thomas. Take some time and do some research on all the other disciples, Barnabas, all of these other disciples that Jesus had while he was here. Don't just go by what the 12 said. Go by, there were so many others. his mother. He didn't have a better follower than his mother. Do some research on her. See if she got a book out there somewhere. And you might say, well, where did these books come from? The Dead Sea Scrolls. These are writings. These are the same writings and stuff that they took and made the Bible with. These same scrolls, they're writings of other folks as well. And we've got to put it all together. We can't just go by just what it is that they gave us.
And that's a position that a lot of organized religions hold now. I mean, this is the book that we have to work from. If you were to attempt at this day and age, and as deep into, I won't even say debt, or as monetarily profitable as organized religion is today, nobody could probably successfully introduce additional books in the Bible that might shed controversy on what is already controversial, as far as I'm concerned. So at this point now, people read the Dead Sea Scrolls, people have heard of them, but introducing that back into mainstream organized religion, that's not happening. And tell me, why would people just close their mind to additional findings?
Well, think about this. They'll close their mind to additional findings, but if their pastor write a book, then they'll read it as if it's gospel.
Trust me, you can get a witness on that. I'm sorry.
All right.
I observed that personally. One Sunday, sitting in the church, pastor was preaching, and I guess the Bible wasn't good enough for him. He said, "Let me give you an excerpt out of one of my books." And a lot of the members didn't have the book. Yo, you see, ushers is coming from everywhere. They must have sold about 500 books. He said, now that you got the reference, now turn to this page. And we talked about a scripture that was associated with his book. And if you didn't have his book, we just sold you that book. And all I could think about, don't get me wrong, I know, one bad thing, one bad apple don't spoil a whole bunch, or one bad event don't say that's how the whole thing is. But all I could think about when I witnessed that was in the synagogues when they said Jesus came there and cleared them out. Like, this is a place of, if you're going to be here, this is not the store. This is not where you have the club or the market. This is a place, a quiet time for, I guess, you can come and connect. So there were no exchanges of anything going on in the churches. It was just, again, and when people think we smash churches, no, I definitely don't smash the church. I smash what you do there. Now, if that's just an open building for you to come and fellowship, and then whatever, then you go do your ministry, I can see that. But that's not what it is. That's just a place where everybody go and you store your riches there. Hopefully, after, everybody get their cut, for lack of a better phrase, we'll go and do some good to the community. But that's not what it's about.
It's not, and you're right. They've turned it into a business. When the disciples went about setting up churches, they went about setting it up just so that the people can have a place to gather, so that they can have the word given to them. But I'm here to tell you today that if you want the word, you sit down and do a little meditation, and you talk to God, and He will give you the word. He will give it to you.
And the one thing I also say is, when you read the Bible, and you read the writings of Jesus, again, tell me if he didn't put this roadmap real simple for you. I'm going to go from place to place and spend all my life, all my days, telling about the goodness of my Father. I'm not going to stay anywhere long, because I'm not going to be an inhabitant of any particular area. I'm just going to go from place to place, and I'm just going to tell people about the goodness of my Father. And I'm not worried about, I don't need anything, because my Father will provide for me. And what He means provide, again, I will give you nourishment. I'll give you what it is that you need to stay on your journey, trying to get people to understand that they can do what you do.
That's all to it. We've got to understand, Jesus said that I am the light. And do you know what the light is? The light is the power and the energy of this thing that we call God. That's what God is, the energy. God is energy, and that's what Jesus meant when he said, I am the light. But we are the light, too. We sing a song, let my light shine, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. We say and we do things that we have no idea what we're really saying, how pathetic, poetic it is what we're saying. Because we have a light in us, and until we realize it, that light is dim, and we've got to brighten that light up. And the only way we can brighten it up is come to the knowledge of who we are. And the more we come to the knowledge of who we are, I'm going to tell you something. The more we come to the knowledge of who we are, the less we got to go to the doctor. The less we act like we ain't got no sense. The less we're always looking around here needing something. Because this light will let you know, the same way it let Jesus know, that you don't have to worry about anything and you can have life. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to be like Jesus and walk around with nowhere to stay and stuff of that nature. No, you can have whatever it is you want. But we've got to do a couple things to get it. We've got to stop looking at things, first of all, as good or bad. We deprive ourselves of a lot of stuff because we think it's bad. But if it's something that we want, why do we have to go by somebody else's interpretation of what's good or bad?
Because we're used to it, and it says comfortable. We have already adjusted to those norms in society that said, you know, this is good, this is bad. So, again, and we consistently educate each other on separation is good. I don't care how they slice it. Separation is good for a lot of people. Now, I'm not one
who
believes
that. Well, that's what they think.
Yeah, that's
right,
what they
think. Right, and that's
exactly.
What they think, that separation
that
is good. Not.
Yeah.
Right, not realizing that we are all one. And they even got separation so good that they got us believing that we are separate from God. You are correct, but we are not separate from God. We are all one. If the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, what does that mean?
It's all his.
Everything is his. So if everything is his, aren't you here on this earth? So if you're here on this earth, aren't you his too?
Oh, exactly.
So if you're his and I'm his and the cars are his and the street is his and the trees are his and everything is his, where does all this other mystical stuff come in at? And you know what I mean when I say that.
That comes in again to embellish on the whole concept of we got to keep groups. We have to keep separation. As long as if everybody united for regardless of what it is for that one thing, do you know how powerful that one thing would be? But if we keep everybody in groups, groups are easier to manipulate. Small pockets are bigger than trying to manipulate the whole pair of pants. Go ahead.
I'll tell you this, bro, because one of the things we've got to pay attention to, and here's one of the things that they've got drilled in our minds. First of all, if you go to a church, the pastor is the shepherd, and the people in the pews are what?
That's the flock.
They're the sheep. Right, the
sheep.
Flock, the sheep. Can you think of a dumber animal? Can you think of a dumber animal than the sheep? You could shepherd sheep right down a hill, and they'll go right down the hill and tumble down the hill if you say go. A horse know where, not to go there because he can't go there. A horse will stop, not a sheep. A sheep is going to follow you wherever you go.
So again, when we first introduce organized religion, we introduce these concepts, and as people know or unwillingly or subconsciously understand that I am a sheep, you know what a sheep is, and so subconsciously you figure that's how I should be. I should hang on to every word from that pastor or that so-called shepherd. And again, I don't knock pastors. I just think that
most of your
pastors, and I'm sorry, I don't mean any disrespect, but I'm speaking what I feel. Most of your pastors fall in love with the profit or the position way more than they fall in love with doing God's work. That's just a personal feeling of mine.
No, it's a personal, and it's correct, because if you think about it, when Jesus was here, he rebuked the chief scribes and stuff because people had set them up on pedestals. And this is one of the reasons why they sought to kill him, because what Jesus was doing was telling them that God is here within you. You don't need him. And if you don't need him, then that means you ain't giving him all your money. That means on Sunday, you ain't making sure he got the best dish at the head of the table. You're not doing all that. It says, do not put your trust in man. How much more can you go? How much plainer can you make it? Because they will deceive you, because their head will get big. And this is going back to what you were saying, too. This is why Jesus never stayed anywhere too long. Because I don't want y'all trying to swell my head up. I got a job to do. And if I sit here, y'all going to try to treat me like I'm a king, and I ain't no better than anybody else. I'm just trying to tell you what you have to do so that since you guys think I'm so great, which he was, you know what I mean? But he wasn't trying to make himself greater than anybody else.
Right.
He was
right.
Trying to bring everybody along with him to show them that I am the way.
He was like LeBron James in the NBA. He's like, I'm better than all y'all, but I ain't going to show you up. Come on. I'm going to help everybody be greater. But
everybody be greater.
But, you know, real quick, Brother Message, I just want to hit you with this one little thing, and I want you to take me home on this. You hear people say, and this is funny to me, that Jesus only came to save the Jews. And since the Jews rejected him, the rest of the world got a chance to get with him. Does that make sense to you, brother, that God would send somebody here just to save some of his people? I'm just wondering, man.
Well, this is the point that I'm trying to get people to see. You are so correct. You can't in one breath say how loving and how he cares about everybody, and then in the same breath go back to the book and read that where he was sent just to the Jews. The Jews just felt that he was sent to him. That's all that was. But how can God just say, okay, I'm just here for the Jews, when all of this is his? He went to the Jews first, but they didn't receive him. So I gotta get this message out, so I'll tell anybody that hears me. But then this is where we have to understand the real nature of Jesus, the prophet, and not, quote unquote, the Son of God. Well, yes, the Son of God, but the Son of God in the same manner in which you and I are the sons of God.
Exactly. There you go.
Because he had human characteristics just like everybody else. But they like to say in one minute he was human and in the next minute he was spiritual. And that is 100% correct. And that's exactly the way we can be. We've got the flesh that we got to deal with, but we have that same spirit that Jesus had. We just don't believe who we are. We'd rather consider ourselves more like Satan than we do God. I tell people that we are God in the flesh. They look at me like I'm crazy. But in the Bible, it says we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Okay, so it's okay for us to be like the devil, but it's blasphemy for me to say we are of God.
it's just funny the things that, when you present that to somebody and say, okay, on this hand, you tell me I can't be born good, but if I tell you I'm born bad, you'll buy that? So in other words, you'll believe a lie before you'll believe the truth? Hey, but listen, my brother, we got 30 seconds, and again, I enjoyed the message. As always, I always enjoy being ministered by my brother, Messenger Ron Dyer. To everyone, again, every Saturday, Sunday, Thursday nights, 11 o'clock. I'm talking to the messenger of call-in number 714-510-3739. Call in, talk, Share your opinions. And again, we don't argue. We share thought. We share information. I love you, my brother. Good night.
Hey, I just want to say this real quick. In the next couple of days, I'm going to surprise everyone because I'm doing some research on the Book of Thomas. And I'm going to put a podcast out just so that you can listen to some of the readings and writings of the brother, of the disciple Thomas. Bless you all. I love you.
Love you, man.
Okay, brother.